circles, clapping your hands for God this morning, folks. It's rise up time. Time to get the Holy Spirit in this. Come on, let's go.
Couldn't come all the way from England without bringing this flag. I want to read something from Isaiah 61, is that okay? This is fun, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, here it comes the joy. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and there is freedom, freedom for the captives. Oh, that's why we need the joy.
Wow. Good morning. Good morning. God bless each and every single one of you. Wow. Bobby Mannion said, I spent an hour in prayer this morning, healing and took communion. We've got all of you great people dancing in your living rooms, doing circles, hopping around, drinking coffee, doing your morning chores, getting ready for work. Maybe you're already at work, but you've got joy, joy, joy down in your heart. Down in your heart to stay. What a way to start out the week. What a way to start out the week with joy. I don't want to start out the week with sadness. I don't want to start out the week with depression. I don't want to start out the week with hatred or annoyance. I don't want to start out the week with, these terrible feelings of loneliness and despair and anxiety. I want to start out the week with joy. Because if you start out the week with joy and you set your mind on holy things and you set your intentions to Jesus's will, well, then you can have nothing but joy. Joy, joy. Down in your heart. Folks, welcome. It is 11 minutes after 9 a.m. here on this Monday morning, March 18th, year of our Lord, 2024. And I hope you guys had a happy St. Paddy's Day yesterday. Hope you had a safe weekend. And, I got to tell you, the hits keep on coming in my family with our children. And we keep finding out more and more and more terrible, horrible things that have gone on without us knowing, which is really odd because we're like somewhat like helicopter parents. But yesterday, I realized that I was joyful still. And in the midst of all of it, I am joyful. I'm not having this time in my life where I can't handle things. I'm not having this anxious moment in my life where I'm questioning whether or not following God is the right move. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. I find myself questioning, where would I be if I didn't have him? What would I be feeling if he wasn't present in my life? Who would I speak to and lean on if not for Jesus? So it's really weird. Like, I look back on it right now and I look back on the last couple months and I say to myself, wow, I'm joyful. And I pray that you're joyful too. Now, there are many moments in my life over the past couple months that I have not been happy, but that's okay. If I'm joyful and unhappy at the same time, guess what? That can happen. People say, Jeremy, that doesn't even make sense. Look at the definitions in the dictionary. You can't be joyful and not be happy. I disagree. I think you can be joyful and not happy. Nancy says, had to follow you again. Yeah, I know that happens sometimes, but just make sure you refollow. And if you were a monthly subscriber, sign back up. And if you have any other issues, make sure that you definitely reach out to support@rumble.com and let them know exactly your name, your email, what platform, and what device you're watching that on to report your problem. And that'll speed it up really quick. Thank you for doing that, Nancy. Jake Ismi, I feel so bad for you and Sabrina. I was a sneaky kid that didn't get caught. Praise God you are reaching your daughters. Well, we are. We definitely are. But what we're finding out now is not more that they're doing now. The bleeding has seemed to subside. But what we're finding out is all the things that now that we're digging, now that we're being detectives, now that we are Sherlock Holmesing everything, we're just finding out a bunch of stuff that we just didn't know. So it's not like it's new actions, but it's new information to us. So I think that's good, at least, right? The bleeding has stopped. T. Mitchell says, it does make sense with God, being joyful but not happy. You're 100% right, it does. 100% right. And today we're going to talk about that. So I titled today's show, He doesn't offer happiness. And I know we didn't get a newsletter out this morning. Running a little late with everything and got some... Like I said, my mom is, got her issues too, so we're dealing with that as well. But I want you guys to open up your Bibles to John 15. John 15, and we're going to be reading from chapter 15, verse 9 through 17 today. Okay? So John 15, John chapter 15. And we're going to go to verse 9. Shishu said, does it make me a bad person when I don't attend church? Of course not. Are you attending this right now? Because if you're attending this right now, then you're attending church. Now, you might not have found one yet that you're comfortable with in your everyday physical, you know, life in your community. And that's okay. But no, it does not make you a bad person. It makes you a bad person when you don't try to follow Jesus. Then you are a bad person. You are trying to follow Jesus. God knows your heart. And if you're here, you're attending church, my friend. Bad Moon says, I found one and it's right here. That's what I'm talking about. All right, folks, we're 16 minutes past the hour and we just barely have over 1,000 people ready for the gospel. I need you guys' fingers ready. I need your spirit fingers. Eli, if there's any spirit fingers, it's on Rise Up and you're sharing videos, right? Those are spirit fingers. So let me see your spirit fingers, folks. Get the share out there. Like the video. Rumble the video. And let's get to our morning prayer as we open up today's show, which is titled, He Doesn't Offer Happiness. All right? All right. You're very welcome, Loizak. You're very welcome. Whew. Let's let it all go. Shake it out, folks. Shake it out. Can you do that? Can you just shake it all out real quick? Shake out last week. We're in a new week. We're in a new day. God gave us this new week. God gave us this new day. So I need you to physically shake it out. Shake out the annoyances and the anxieties and the depression. Just shake it all out, all the way out to your little spear fingers. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Here we go. Lord and Heavenly Father. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so incredibly thankful to you that as Christians and as followers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we can experience both joy and unhappiness at the same time, joy being the more dominant and superseding one of those two. And the world doesn't think that that's possible, Lord, but we as children of God know that that is definitely possible. Because we can understand the difference, even though the English language or maybe the Webster Dictionary or the Oxford Dictionary can't define the difference between the two, we can. And we're going to dig into that today. Because there is no reason why anybody who's watching the show right now should not experience daily joy. Daily joy. And once we can get there, Lord, it doesn't matter if we're happy or not. Happiness is a blessing. It's a cherry on top. If we can be happy and joyful at the same time, then that's a blessing from God. But if we can be joyful and unhappy, that too is a blessing from you. And we thank you for that so very much. Lord, be with us today. Help us, guide us using this wonderful, beautiful Holy Spirit that you give us to navigate the waters of troubles and trials. Guide us through today's message so that at the end we can understand that even if we are unhappy, we can still turn that frown upside down with some joy. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Stretch said they posted a link in the comment section, not to be watched right now, but when you get an opportunity to, click that link and watch it. Thank you, Stretch, and thank you for respecting the laws of the live chat, right? Okay, let's get into the description of today's show, and we'll proceed on from there. Rise Up, episode number 315, already. 315. We're going to be at 1,000 before you know it. Today's okay. Show, and we'll proceed on from there.
Why is that on? Can we get
Why
that off?
Episode number 315.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Jesus never once in the Bible. Hold on. Ashley says, Jeremy, there's a friend of mine that says she believes in Jesus, but not the Bible. What can I say to witness to her with that? Have her watch A Case for Christ. Because if she believes in Jesus, but not the Bible, because it was inspired by men and written by men and taken away and added to by men and changed by men, ask her to read Watch a Case for Christ, and then show her the cross references in the Old Testament and New Testament. You can Google that or whatever and find it. It shows how the Old Testament set up Jesus, and all of the things that the Old Testament prophesied, Jesus actually fulfilled, which is mathematically and statistically impossible. And he did those things. So if she believes in Jesus, and she believed Jesus did these miracles and did these things because of eyewitness testimony and others, and all of that stuff is in the Bible, then you can't believe in one without the other. Now, what you can do is you can talk with her about being stronger in the Holy Spirit so that when she's reading through Bibles as she's progressing with her journey with Jesus, she can read different Bibles, different versions, and then use the Holy Spirit to discern which Bible is the best to read based on original transcript and Hebrew and Greek translations. I know that's a long-winded answer. I get it. But it works. So I guess just share that with her, okay? All right. Jesus never once mentioned in the Bible happiness. Never once. And he never even uttered a word that meant happiness, not definition-wise. Now, you can use the word happiness when you're expressing the word joy, or when you're defining the word joy, or when you're defining the word exuberant, or any of that. You can put the word happiness in there as a characteristic of that feeling, but it's not the definition. So people have argued that the word blessed means happy. I disagree. People have argued that the word, different words in Greek and Hebrew meant happy. They didn't. What they did is they embodied a ton of characteristics, and happiness was one of those. If you're blessed, that makes you happy, right? But Jesus never once used the word happiness in the Bible. He never once offered happiness. I should say it that way. He never offers happiness by using that word. We'll say it that way. His concern was not about our earthly feelings. It was about bringing heaven to earth. And since happiness is based off of many earthly things and hence is temporary, there is no wonder why Jesus never mentioned offering happiness. But what is the difference between that and what he did offer? Let's talk about that right now. So I thought the best way to do this was to go to the Oxford and Webster dictionaries of happiness and joy. And the really funny thing about the way the world works and the way the world, what the world wants you to see, is if you look up the definitions, happiness and joy, you will see that both of them have characteristics in the definition, one be having the other. So if you look up joy, you'll see that happiness is part of that. If you look up happiness, you'll see that joy is a part of that. Sonia says, I haven't received the newsletter in over 6 months. Then you need to re-sign up. For sure. Or it's getting lost in all your other folders. But you need to re-sign up for sure. And somebody said they were getting their complete Jewish Bible today, Eli. And they're very excited. I would be too. And Race Mom donated $20, said, I have joy this morning. God bless, rise up. Here's $20. Use where is needed. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Now, I want to get into these two definitions because I dug deep in this and what I found was pretty intense, actually. So, if you look up the definition of happiness, here is what you're going to get for a common answer. The state of being happy, Eli. Can you imagine that? If you asked me, what's anger mean? And I go, it's the state of being angry. What a cheap cop-out definition, right? Happiness, the state of being happy. That's it. Example, she struggled to find happiness in her life. Great. But I want you to You know how when you look up a definition, whether no matter what search engine you use, if you look up the definition of something, it also gives you words that describe that definition. Let me give you the words, the first five words, six words, that are described when you look up happiness, contentment, contentedness, satisfaction, pleasure, and cheerfulness. Now, if you look up under the subsection of words that describe the word happiness, joy is in there and joyfulness is in there. In the subsection, not in the top section where they prioritize the words that you could associate with the definition of the word happy. But I want to go through those top words again. Contentment and contentedness. Can you think of a time where you were experiencing the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God? I guarantee you, you've never used the word, I'm content. I'm content in the Lord. No, you are overflowing in the Lord. You've never used the word, I'm satisfied. I have satisfaction in the Lord. You've never used the word, I have cheerfulness because of the gospel. You might have used that word, but never content or contentedness or satisfied or pleasure. Those are earthly words. Those are earthly descriptions. And happiness, hence, is a state of being pleasured or content, feeling content or satisfaction or cheerfulness in the flesh. Now let's go to joy for a minute, because joy, again, in the subsection of words and even in the definition that the world wants you to see, is this. Joy is a noun, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, tears of joy. You see how they're trying to make the two words the same? The world. Remember when I told you about trivializing words and changing the definition of them? Let me read for you the list, the top list of words that you can use to describe the meaning of joy. Very different. Very different. Now, if you just look at the definition looks like joy and happiness are the same thing. They are not. Listen to the words that describe joy compared to the words that describe happiness. In happiness, you had satisfaction, contentment, contentedness, pleasure. But in joy, the words that you use to describe are great pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, triumph, and exultation, rejoicing, exhilaration, exuberance, happiness, bliss, ecstasy, thrill, and all that fall below. But those top words, when used to describe joy and happiness, are very different, but the definitions, which is what the world would go read first and only, basically say the same thing. Joyfulness is forever. You can be unhappy and joyful, but you cannot be happy truly with no joy. And if you can, again, it's only temporary. Where joyfulness is in the spirit for eternity, happiness is in the flesh temporarily. Sugar says, I never look up words on the internet. I use the old Webster dictionary. That's a good idea. We have those as well, you know, in my house. We have old school, what is it called, Eli? Britannicus encyclopedias? We have the Britannicus encyclopedias in our home. You know, the internet before the internet. Also, our children that are homeschooled are not allowed to use internet for their homeschooling. Now, if they want to look up something using the internet, they're more than welcome. But all of their curriculum for homeschooling is on paper. Books, paper, writing, the old school way. And if you can't find a definition of something, or if you can't find information about something in a dictionary or an encyclopedia, then and only then are you allowed to use the internet. Question, can you be joyful and unhappy? Answer, yes, you can. Now, let's go to the verse of the day today. Amazing. The big bulky set? Yes, we still do. We still have those. Yeah, we got them at a yard sale or something one time, and we said, we got to get those. Dane said, Jeremy, I did homeschool that way too. And CQ is already on top of it, man, with John 15. All right, let's go to John 15. We're going to read from 9 all the way through 17, because I think context is always important, right? And what is being described in this chapter and in these verses are the vine and the branches. Now, remember when I showed you that video where the guy said, leave me on the vine. Don't pluck me off. Leave me on the vine. Now, let's go to verse 9 in chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, Jesus came to set an example. God's word was not sufficient enough for human beings that were corrupted and bad on this earth to listen, comprehend, understand, and apply. Over many, 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 many centuries did humans prove to be inadequate for God's beautiful, wonderful, perfect word. So God says, all right, now I'm going to send my only begotten Son to show you better than I can tell you. And since Jesus was fully human, we know that it is possible to be like Jesus. And since Jesus took the sin of the world on his shoulders, we can live like Jesus. And where we fall short, we have Jesus to fill in the gap. Jesus came as the ultimate teacher and as the ultimate inspiration to be like. He was the example. He was the bar. So he says, do as I'm doing. I'm a human just like you. I'm susceptible to sin. I'm susceptible to temptation. But be strong like me in the spirit with God. And if you are like me, you'll be all set. You'll be in his love. You'll be in his grace. You'll be in his mercy. If you're like me. I have told you this, verse 11, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Now, let me ask you this question before we go to verse 12. Do you think, and this is an honest question, I want an honest answer, and we'll actually put the Rumble chat up on the board so we can see it. Do you think that Jesus found joy on the cross? That's a great question. Do you think Jesus not could, but did find joy while being crucified and martyred on the cross? And I don't want you to just say what you think is the obvious answer. I want you to tell me what you really believe. Let's go to the Rumble chat. The joy of Lord says yes. Jessica says yes. CQ said yes. It was pure love on the cross, says Katia 76. Raphael says yes. Stretch says yes, he was able to save the thief. Yes, he absolutely did. I think he found joy in saving so many people, but pain in hanging on the cross. So here's my point in asking that question. You're right. I think he found so much joy. I think he found joy when he said, "It is finished." That was his mission, done. I think he found joy when he saved the thief, when he said to the thief on the cross, "As sure as I tell you right now, you're going to be with me in paradise this day." He found joy in the fact that somebody was there to take care of his mother for him. He found joy in the fact that he completed and it was now going to end what he came here to do, and that he would be risen so that the beginning of salvation could start. You don't think Jesus found joy in that? He fulfilled what God sent him here to do. He was bleeding. He was dying. He had been bruised and beaten and punctured and scraped and scratched and ripped open. He'd been spit on, cursed, kicked, laughed at, punched. He was hanging on a cross with spikes, not nails. Nails are what you use to build something. He had spikes driven through his hands and spikes driven through his feet to the point where he had to literally lift himself up with his whatever muscles he could muster just to breathe because he was suffering from asphyxiation and everything else, and he still found joy? If your answer was yes, and you believe that he can find joy on the cross, then why can't you find joy in your trials? It always happens to me. Just my luck. Why are you doing this to me? I literally pray, go to church, follow my commands, and you're still going to bring me through this? No, 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 no. Let me tell you something right now. God does not allow you to be tempted with more than you can handle. Ask Job. CQ said the joy he felt was not physical, but spiritual. Amen. While experiencing the worst pain. Do you think Jesus was happy to be on the cross? Do you think Jesus was happy to be dying and bleeding out, having his bowels and his bones bare, open to the world, exposed? I can't think he was happy. I can't think he was happy to look down and see his mom and Mary Magdalene and other people that he knew crying out for them to stop doing what they were doing to him. I can't think that made him happy. No. But he found joy. So don't let anybody ever tell you that you can be joyful but not happy, because you can be. I'm living proof of that right now. I am not a happy person right now with a lot of things that are going on in my life. Eli hears them every day. There's a lot going on in my life right now that would probably make most people crumble and just give up. I can tell you that. And you guys don't even know all of it yet. I give you a lot, but I don't give you everything yet. You will someday get it all. I am living proof that you can be joyful and not happy. I am joyful with my relationship with God. I am joyful and thankful for my marriage and in my marriage. I am joyful and thankful to have this job. Think about it. Me and Eli were talking this morning. People say the American dream is dead. Then how am I making a living by doing a podcast if the American dream is dead? I literally, my job is to research, put together stuff, spread the seed of the gospel, and do it all on a podcast, and get out in the streets and do it when I can. And I'm making a living doing that because of people like you. You can't tell me that joy is dead and the American dream is dead. It's not true. It's not true. I'll be happy again someday. That's okay. I don't need to be happy. I'd like to be happy. Like I said, it's the icing on the cake. But I don't need to be. I need to be joyful. That can bring a smile to my face. That can make me feel like dancing for the Lord, like David. Two videos to show you. Obviously, it's Comfort Monday, so we got that going on. But what you're about to see right now is what inspired me to do this today. Now, you guys have heard me talk about joy and happiness a lot, but we never actually had an entire show breaking down the difference between joy and happiness. And today I thought, you know what? There's no better time. Since I am experiencing all-time joy, and since I am experiencing all-time unhappiness at the same time, this is a perfect time for this show. And I've got this video archived for just this occasion. Roll it.
Not once. In every single teaching, he never offers happiness. What he does offer is something the world will never be able to offer you.
Peace. Yes.
Tell me who on social media offers you peace. We all say it's the pursuit of happiness. It's the pursuit of happiness. Go find happiness. Go chase happiness. But the problem is when you pursue happiness, you leave a trail of destruction behind you.
Whoa.
And that's what we find in our society today, because it's all about me and my happiness. That's why Jesus comes along and says, yeah, you're going to be entering into a world that's completely broken. And the one thing you need more than happiness right now is peace. And what's really fascinating about Jesus, and I find most people don't understand this, is he never once offers happiness.
If you chase happiness, if you go out there and seek happiness instead of seeking God and joy and peace, you are being selfish, and you will leave a trail of destruction and disappointment and depression. If you seek happiness, it's too temporary. It's also too reliant on other people and their attitudes and their actions to and around you. How are you going to put that much faith in other people? The only thing that can make you happy is other people. You can't find yourself happy alone. You know those movies, Eli, about apocalypses and you're the last person left on Earth, like that movie I Am Legend or whatever? There's no way that you could experience happiness if you were the last person on Earth, because happiness needs someone else. It needs another action. It needs somebody pulling the strings or pulling the trigger. Somebody needs to be involved. And you need to rely on that person, whether it's a boss, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member or a spouse or a loved one. It doesn't matter. Happiness comes from the involvement of somebody else, because somebody must have done something in order to have it happen to you, in order for you to be happy, give you a raise, win a car, win the lottery, whatever. Joy can be found alone. And when you seek happiness, like that young man said, you will leave a trail of destruction and you will leave a trail of depression, because you'll be let down so many times. But if you seek God, like we spoke about last week, playing hide and seek, you go seek the hider. If you seek God, he promises that he will make himself available for you. He promises that he'll be right next to you when you need him. And you can find joy when nobody else can help make you happy. Now, we don't have enough time for the entire episode of this week's Monday Morning Ray Comfort, because it's 20 minutes long and I tried to get it in. But I think the message was far more important than this video today. And I wanted to get this message across. CQ says, I didn't realize we could feel joy and unhappiness at the same time until now. Yes, you can. You can. And I'm so glad that you could see it now. Because joy is the superseding feeling. Joy is the more dominant, the more important. And if you have that, who cares about happiness? Happiness is just something that's extra. It's like a bonus. I'm going for the paycheck, right? I'm not going for the bonus. I'm working for the paycheck. And that's joy. And you know what? I'm not even working for joy. Joy is given to me as a free gift, as a bonus. because of the fact that I love God so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Comfort Mondays will take us to the end of the show. Enjoy.
You may have noticed that Acts 3:19 and 26 pops up when repentance of sin is mentioned. This is because there are many who, it seems, don't know their Bibles. Here is one.
Okay, this sermon is entitled, Ray Comfort is going to split hell wide open. I'd like to open up with prayer, and then with a few verses. All right, dear God, thank you for giving us your clear word. Thank you for allowing us to see what it says. Bless the listeners, I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Ray Comfort is an unsaved, stupid devil. He's a lying, false prophet. He's on his way to hell. He's going to split hell wide open. He's a stupid, unsaved... The Bible makes it very clear that there's only one thing you have to do to be saved. The question is asked in Acts chapter 16, what must I do to be saved? And in verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But Ray Comfort is not saved. Ray Comfort's a false prophet, straight out of hell. Ray Comfort's going to hell. Ray Comfort's an unsaved... And we see a verse that describes him to a T in Proverbs chapter number 14. It reads in verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls. Stupid Ray Comfort devil. He's going to split hell wide open because that's his main message. Repent of your sins. You better turn from your sins. Stupid unsaved devil. That's all Ray Comfort is a liar, a deceiver, an antichrist, a devil, a reprobate, a hellbound, stupid who's going to split hell wide open. That's all I have. Let me go ahead and close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us your clear word. Thank you for allowing us to see what it says. Bless the listeners, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As you heard, he maintains, as many others do, that repentance is simply a change of mind about Jesus, that it has nothing to do with turning from sin. All we have to do is believe in Jesus. Well, does repentance mean to turn from the sins of lying, stealing, blasphemy, fornication, adultery, and idolatry?
Well, that's what Jesus says.
What does it simply mean to turn from the singular sin
Repent.
Of unbelief about Jesus? Scripture makes it very clear that repentance is turning from sins, plural. Ezekiel 18:21-23, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Plural, not the sin of unbelief. Acts 3:26, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Again, iniquities is plural, not the singular sin of unbelief. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins, plural, should be preached in his name among all nations. Revelation 2:21-22, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not, except they repent of their deeds, plural. Revelation 9:21, and they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Notice again, murders, sexual immorality, and thefts, not simply unbelief. Proponents of just believe say that we're saying to turn from sin, like Jesus did with a woman caught in the act of adultery. Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more, or to the impotent man that he healed. See, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. A genuine Christian perpetually turns from sin, and if he does fall, which we often do, he quickly repents. This is called the fruit of repentance. It's evidence of salvation, not the reason for it. Those who maintain turning from sin as a work, at the same time, say that sinners must believe to be saved. In other words, a sinner has to do something. He has to believe. That's works righteousness. According to Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace alone without works. And the way to obtain that grace is to do the two things that Jesus told us to do. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's why the Apostle Paul faithfully preached those same two necessities, repentance and faith, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you do the same.
You play Jeopardy?
Yeah, just sometimes.
Okay, do you play Jeopardy? Yeah, I have. I have before.
It's been a while, but
okay,
yeah.
Today's subject is Bible knowledge. You afraid of death?
Not at all.
Why not?
I don't know. I think it's kind of... I have a few ideas on this, where either you're reincarnated or you're forever dreaming and then get away from that dream, or it's just darkness.
I think I'm slightly afraid of death just because I recognize it's probably... Like, I'm already aware of it, but I'm scared of it because I don't know. I don't know what's next. I don't know what's coming. So that part does kind of frighten me, but leaving here isn't as scary.
You're a wise man. You should always be afraid of that which could kill you, and death is going to kill you. And you're not afraid of it? It's like standing on a freeway and a truck heading for you, and you say, I'm not afraid of the truck. I'm not even going to get out of the way. I'll just stand here. Someone's going to put you in a box and bury you 6 feet under the ground.
If a truck's coming at me, I'm gonna go out of my way to get out of the way of that.
Are you afraid of death?
I'm afraid of dying, essentially, but the death itself I'm not afraid of.
Do you believe in God?
I do not.
Do you?
There's something more to all this than just humans.
I'm a little more on the spiritual side where there is something, but I can't really quite say what it would be.
What would you think of me if I said, nobody made your t-shirt? So you're crazy. It's designed. I'm going to move away from your intellect to your conscience. Can you handle that?
Sure.
Can you handle that?
I can handle it.
Can you handle it?
We'll see.
Do you think you're a good person morally?
I do.
How many lies have you told in your life?
More than I can count.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
A liar.
Do you still think you're a good person?
I do.
Ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Yep.
Lying thief?
Lying thief.
Still think you're a good person?
I do.
Have you broken those commandments? Have you lied and stolen?
Yeah, but I don't define the commandments as what's morally good versus morally evil.
That's right. And have you lied and stolen?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Definitely.
I said you're an interesting man. I enjoy this.
Yeah. So it's not offending you?
No.
Okay?
No, absolutely.
I hate how easily people are offended now. I think it's important to encourage conversation and debate.
It's healthy. Yeah. Okay, now Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
I'm telling your girlfriend.
Have you?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Have you had sex before marriage?
I have.
No.
And what about you?
I've had sex,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a summation of your court case on Judgment Day. You've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart who's self-righteous and saying you're a good person when it's obvious you're not. You're like the rest of us. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, we've looked at four or five, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I will be guilty. I don't live my life for God.
I know that. Yeah. It's innocent or guilty?
Guilty. Unless he forgives all, so...
If God was judging me, I guess he'd call me guilty.
Yeah. Guys, have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
Nope.
It's very famous, saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who's committed multiple murders, but he mocks the law and he keeps saying, I'm a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And guys, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. And if you die in your sins, you go to hell, and that breaks my heart. You guys don't realize this, but I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. Now, here's a question. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something.
He died for our sins.
You know that?
He sent his son, Jesus.
Yeah, almost everybody knows that, but they don't know this. And guys, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays your fine. He'll say, you're out of here, you're guilty, but you can leave because someone paid your fine, and it's legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago. Then he rose from the dead and defeated death. And if you'll just simply repent of your sins, turn from them, and put your trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute, God promises, and he cannot lie, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because God is good and kind and rich in mercy. One question for you. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
So I don't squash like a bug?
Yeah, and your motivation is fear. You fear dying, so that fear is your friend, it's not your enemy. Guys, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you a little scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life. And it'll drive you to the foot of the cross where you'll find everlasting life. I don't know if you guys realize this, but you're going to die alone. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And that's frightening. Even if your family are around you when you're dying, when you die, you go alone. And you have to stand before the God that gave you life. And he's the one that made the lightning.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it's a fearful thing.
I feel like with perspective, you know, it can be like
so
that fear.
Or... I ask you a question?
Yeah, please. Anything
so...
you want.
With this kind of like argument in the fear of God and using Jesus and the Ten Commandments, would you say that this solely applies to Christianity? So would other religions be false and other prophets be false and other idols?
Boy, that's a really good question. The big difference between Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism is this one thing. Every one of those religions is what's called works righteousness religions. They say you have to do something to merit everlasting life. You have to fast, pray, face Mecca, be good, repent,
follow
do something.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, any of that. Just follow them.
Yeah.
Follow them. That's what they say. You have to do something. And the thing that changes the whole scenario is that God is a judge. And if you offer anything to a judge when you're guilty before him, it's not good works. It's an attempt to bribe the judge of the universe. You're going to think about what we talked about today?
Definitely. Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, my parents always bring up the same conversation, so it's kind of always just burned in the back of my head.
Please think about what we talked about today, because you don't know when you're going to die.
Absolutely.
Every day 150,000 people die. So I want you to think about it with a sense of urgency. And guys, would you examine my tone? Why am I talking to you like this? It's because I really do care about you, and I know what I'm saying is true.
Sure you believe that, yes.
Yeah, that's patronizing.
I'm sorry for that.
I've written a book called Scientific Facts in the Bible. May I give you a copy?
Sure. No, I'll read it.
You play Jeopardy?
Yeah, just sometimes.
Okay, do you play Jeopardy?
Yeah, I have. Okay. I have before.
It's been a while, but
okay,
yeah.
Today's subject is Bible knowledge.
Oh. Yeah, this okay. Is, every time I thought about going on Kids Jeopardy when I was younger, I was like, I'll go on, but like every third episode, there's stuff about the Bible, and yeah. I know I would just get wiped off the board.
Okay. Who was Goliath?
Someone that fought David.
What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
What's the first book of the New Testament?
Revelation?
That's the last book. Who was Jesus?
Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord and Savior.
Do you believe he's the Son of God?
Well, in the Bible it says he's the Son of God. So if I want to immerse myself in this story, I would be okay, that's the Son of God. I want to hear what you have to say, actually. You know, the Bible says we have a forgiving God, right? That loves us very much. It's almost like as a father. So why not, if to go your whole life to thinking... And, you know, instead of basing your things off things that we know, like science and stuff like that, I think that's factual evidence stuff. And we go our whole lives, and then one day we die, and we go up to, I mean, why not forgive us then? Why not look at us and be like, oh, okay, like, now you know I'm real?
You know God is real because the heavens declare the glory of God. Every time you look at the sky, you know intuitively that God exists. This is the painting of the painter.
Like I said, that's one perspective.
Well, that's what the Bible says.
Exactly. If you want to look at the Bible as a perspective, that's exactly what your perspective would be. But
when we broke away from Britain a few hundred years ago, we made a declaration. We didn't suggest breaking away. It was a declaration of independence. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. It's not open.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to cut it right then and right there. If you want to watch the rest of that, you can obviously follow Ray on his YouTube page, which is Ray Comfort Just Witnessing. And I noticed, I'm going to say one more thing before I go. I noticed somebody said that they didn't really care for Ray's tactics because something about the Ten Commandments and the way he uses them and the way we don't, and they feel we don't have to use them. Let me just tell you this, the Ten Commandments is the only thing we can use. The Ten Commandments is the only thing we can use to gauge ourselves. That's it. We can't use anything else because those are God's laws to humanity at the time of Moses, at the time of the beginning, in the time of now, and the time of when we all die. Those commandments are God's rules. It's like parents' rules, and you have to follow them. Now, everybody might have a different view of what they are, but long story short, there is no other way to gauge yourself if you're not gauged against those, because Jesus embodied those commandments And those are the only things we have. Nothing else. God's word. Just say. All right, I love you guys. Thank you for being here. I love the talk. I love the dialogue. And I love the debate if we have them. And I choose God and I choose joy. Mike Crispy Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I hope today's show helped. You can be joyful and unhappy at the same time. God bless, guys. See you later.